Hey, good morning, Hope at Home, and it seems like Hope in the Building just kind of slowly but surely we're making our way back in, and this is a new year, a lot of new things, not bad to reflect on what we value and what matters. And last week we talked about pretty candidly that church is driven by something. Every church has an agenda, right? Some churches are driven by programs or powerful personalities or past traditions or deep pockets, and that's not what we want to be driven by. By the way, when it comes to finances, just so you know, we normally have a yearly business meeting where we just talk about, hey, here's where we've done, here's where we've been. This last year we didn't, so what the elders and I chose to do this year, and it'll happen in the next 2 weeks, we're hiring an independent audit firm to come and just go through our books. And why do we do that? Just because we like integrity. And we don't want to be that church that's driven, you know, by finances. We don't want to be driven by personalities. Here's what Jesus said, and I love this. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So we understand from this, it's his church. He's going to build it, and he is going to protect it. And so it's like, Jim, why is this such a big deal? It's a big deal because a church from the inside can fall apart. And the last several years, I have been called upon to go to churches that are in crisis and help them get back on track because they're focused on this and, well, the color of the carpet, I mean, that's God's call and all these things. And so I go in and help churches that are blowing up. And we don't want that at Hope Church. And things are going well at Hope Church. And I love Hope Church. And one of the reasons why things are going well is because we try to keep focusing and refocusing on what matters to Jesus. Hey, and because things are going well doesn't mean that things can't go bad. A few years back, I had a youth pastor and I took him sailing. We're having a great time. The wind is just howling and we are like flying across this lake. We're having a good time talking. Well, he forgot a basic fundamental in sailing. It's called hold on. Right? And so we're just going. It's like, yeah, bro, yeah, we're rocking it. Poof. Man overboard. But it was going so well, but he forgot the basics. And we can do that too. So it's good to be reminded. And we want to have a solid foundation. We want to understand what is the purpose of Hope Church. And we look at that and we come to the conclusion this is what matters by Christ's ministry example. What was important to Christ? We look at the New Testament church according to Jesus. And we also look at the commands in the scripture. What does Paul say when he addresses the churches? And so this is very important so the church doesn't come apart from the inside out. But there's another thing that I was reminded about this week, and I was reminded that there's another reason why we need to understand the basics, why we need to have a foundation. Because it's not just from on the inside, if we don't know where we're going, that the church is going to struggle. Do you realize there are evil forces outside the church trying to get into the church? And what happens, and I read this week, I listened to Pastor Kevin, and by the way, I already posted a comment. And not only can you get a read through the New Testament, there's comments that you can post. But I read in Genesis, the devil, he says, hey, we all love God, God's good. He didn't mean you couldn't eat that fruit, Eve. He meant that if you ate that fruit, you would know a lot more than you know now. God's holding out on you. And so when we take the whole truth and just switch a teeny bit, it becomes no truth at all. And this is kind of what happens from the beginning of time even to now. And Paul warns about this. He talks to his young disciple, Timothy, his student, and this is what Paul says to Timothy. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. And by the way, I look at myself as, hey, this applies to me. I'm a pastor. I know that James chapter 3 says, guys like me, you don't want to be me because you incur a stricter judgment. And Jesus says, Mary says, hey, if you cause one of my little ones to stumble, it's better to tie like a rope around your neck with a big rock and throw yourself into the water. So like, okay, Paul, I get it. Preach the word. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. In some of the churches we prayed for today in China, it's not favorable, but they're still doing it. And so this is the job of me. Patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. Now, I do my best, right? The Bible is good. Sometimes do I convey it the best way I can? I don't know. Sometimes you sleep in church and it's okay. I just know that you were tired and I get it. But it says, come on now, encourage good teaching. Check this out. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. What, Paul? What are you telling Timothy? They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news. Hey, there's good news. We're going to talk about that. And fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. So check this out. One of my own. Check this out. One of my own. So you become a pastor, they've got like a Christian worker. And then that, if you get this Christian worker kind of a license, like you can go to hospitals and stuff like that, then there's like this next step, and it's called a licensed minister. And then you go like to the next step, and you become an ordained minister, and it takes school, it takes training, it takes an apprenticeship, it takes all this stuff, and then you're bestowed upon God with this sacerdotal duty to do what he wants you to do. Okay. I love it, but I got to show you this video. Check this out. This is one of my own. One of my own. Praise this prayer last Sunday.
God, noiselessly, we bow before your throne of grace as we leave behind the politically and socially clamorous year of 2020.
Great prayer.
We gather now in this consequential chamber to inaugurate another chapter in our roller coaster representative government.
Beautiful prayer.
The members of this august body acknowledge your sacred supremacy and therefore confess that without your favor and forbearance, we enter this new year relying dangerously on our own fallible nature.
I love it.
God, at a moment when many believe that the bright light of democracy is beginning to dim, empower us with an extra dose of commitment to its principles.
Yes.
May we of the 117th Congress refuel the lamp of liberty so brimful that generations unborn will witness its undying flame. And may we model community healing, control our tribal tendencies, and quicken our spirit that we may feel thy priestly presence even in moments of heightened disagreement.
Love that prayer.
May we so feel your presence that our service here may not be soiled by any utterances or acts unworthy of this high office. Insert in our spirit a light so bright that we can see ourselves and our politics as we really are, soiled by selfishness, perverted by prejudice, and inveigled by ideology.
Beautiful.
Now may the God who created the world and everything in it bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us.
Number six, I pray this almost every
May the
every
Lord
Sunday.
Lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families, peace across this land, and dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
So this is what I'm like going, okay, this isn't political. This isn't about, this is one of my guys. He's a pastor. He's a from Kansas City. Bro, this is one of the most eloquent, beautiful prayers. I don't have the eloquence to do that. But then I'm like, wait, what? Okay, let me think about this. Monotheistic God. Okay, I've been to seminary. Didn't get the first 4 years right. Didn't get the second 2 years right. Had to do three more. Okay, monotheism. Mono, one, theism, God. Okay, I like that. This is what we call the Judeo-Christian ethic, the faith of, you know, Christians. It means there's one true God, of course, who created the world. This God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, and intervenes in the world. This is the foundation of our faith. This is exactly what the Bible says. A monotheistic God. I love it. Listen to what Isaiah writes. But you are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been. There never will be. Yes, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. First I predicted your rescue, then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are my witnesses that I am the Lord, that I am the only God, says the Lord. So Isaiah contends, speaking the words of God himself, I am the only God. So if we take the word and twist it a little, well, that's a problem. I mean, this prayer is an ordained minister's prayer, exercising the sacerdotal privilege with the authorities that come with that. And he disregards the written word of God. And I thought to myself, I didn't even hear that right. There's no way I heard this right. So I watched it again. And I thought, Jim, this is a good man. You can't judge this man. I mean, he dresses a whole lot nicer than you do. Looks better than you, and he sure is a lot smarter than you are, and he waxes eloquent like none other. I thought, how could this even happen? And it dawned on me. It's been happening a long time. Modern culture, and this has happened since I was a little kid, modern culture has taken this precious word of God, and it said this. It's what modern culture has done. I want to live a certain way. And so this has to conform to how I live. Instead of you and me saying this is the principle by which our society is held together, these are the roots that keep the tree from falling, we say, I'm not going to conform to this. It's kind of got to conform to me. And so there's the conflict. Did God give us an option to say, I like this? Oh, no. Don't like that. I love that. You know, if you begin to hate what God loves, God will begin to hate what you love. And I thought, okay, this is really kind of an interesting deal. So let me just talk to the monotheistic God. I get that. One God, God Almighty, it's throughout the scriptures. And then there's this other God he prays to. I'm like, okay, Brahma, let's refresh your memory in this stuff, Jim. It's a Hindu God, and Brahma is believed to be born from a locust flower. It's a pretty flower. this locust flower, which it springs from Vishnu's navel. Okay, so there's a flower springing from a navel. And all right, wait. How Brahma's born from Vishnu. Who's Vishnu? Okay, that's a good question. It's another Hindu god, protector of the universe. Vishnu's married, but you might have seen a picture of Vishnu. Let me just tell you who my fellow pastor prayed to. Here's a picture. Okay, this is Vishnu. Okay, see, there's Brahma. See the locust flower coming out of the belly, but then it's also in a milky ocean on a snake. Literally, this is who my brother in the faith prayed to. I'm thinking, okay, Brahma, born of a flower, springing from a belly button, on a milky ocean, with like a lot of arms, on a snake. This is a symbol of the celestial and divine being and the creator and the director of our universe. Whoa. Gosh, it wasn't long ago we were driving into the Sam's parking lot, and there's such a dumb stop sign there. Have you ever seen it? I just kind of decided I'm going to disregard it. I mean, it's so dumb, no one's even coming. So I don't want to say that in case a police officer watches this. Let's just say I've been mostly obeying the law. And you'd say, Jim, what's it going to hurt? Well, then if I got up and said, you know, I didn't get hurt there. I'm going to start running red lights. Tired of waiting. Traffic in Bentonville is stupid. I'm going to start running red lights. What would you say to me? Jim, I don't think that's a good idea. Are you judging me? No. I'm actually trying to keep you alive. And maybe if you want to kill yourself, go drive off something else, but you're going to hurt somebody else. Went to my doctor a couple months ago, and man, he's so mean. He had the nerve. He's like, wow, I've been watching your weight. It's none of your business. And he said, oh my gosh, he said, at some point, we need to talk about obesity. Do you not know we're in COVID? Do you not know that I get hungry? Do you not know that pizza tastes better than broccoli? I mean, I wanted to slap him. How dare you? Come on now. If you tell me not to run red lights, you're not doing it for any other reason than you care about me. You don't want me to hurt somebody. You're not judging me. You're judging what I do. My doctor's not saying, you know, Jim, you're such a loser. I don't even want to see you anymore. He's saying, hey, you know what, Jim? I kind of understand how the body works. I've studied it. That's why this MD is after my name. I'm just telling you, for the long run, doing what you do isn't healthy for you. Can I just encourage you in something today? I've spent a lot of years studying. That doesn't make me important, but it means something. In my entire life of study of the Word of God, 9 years of college, I've studied the Word of God, and I've never seen an option for us to have more than one God. And so do not misunderstand me today. I don't judge my brother, but I have to say, folks, we're not going to be praying to Brahma in Hope Church. No. And, you know, I'm not even mad. I'm just like, whoa, what? That was a little high-pitched for me. Kind of scared myself. So, I mean, Representative Cleaver publicly prays a part that's not in the Holy Scriptures, but then he does something really good. It's not enough that we just pray to the monotheistic God, which is an absolute contradiction when it's one God and the only God when you pray to Brahma, which is a combination of the locust flower, a belly button sitting on an ocean, on a snake. And then we just like, you know what? You like vanilla ice cream? I like chocolate ice cream. No. You get the whole ice cream shop. Whatever you want. We had that in California at a place called Shakey's. What was it called? Where they had the trough. Farrell's. Have you ever seen this? It's all the ice cream. Even as a child, germs were... people. Whew. No. If you don't like germs, you're going, yeah, that's just crazy. Well, there's a germ happening right here. So he ends his prayer, if two gods aren't enough, the congressman prays this. And gods known by many names, by many different faiths. Whew. This is awesome. I mean, this is a polytheistic system in which here's how it works. There's a lot of gods. Could be over an area, could be over an idea, could be over a region. There's a lot of them, but there's no like really one God on top. And there's no like transcendent power over this God and that God, and your God's good, and your God's good, and I mean, it's a great idea, except for this. What if your God is the God of nature, and you love trees, but I've got this God of production, and I want to build homes for people. And my God says, take care of people. And your God says, protect the trees. We're going to have a minor conflict. And I'm going to serve my God to the point where I'm going to do what I need to do. And you're going to serve your God to the point you're going to do what you need to do. Uh-oh. There's a word called social Darwinism. This means whoever's the strongest wins. And oh my goodness, the convictions of my God demand a reaction against your God. And there is no foundation. At best, there are universal morals, and our value system as we know it, as we have understood it, which has built America, becomes at best relative. It all depends on the God I serve. I'm telling you, this is what is happening here when we pray to a polytheistic God system. It could even go like this. Intrinsically, I'm a superior being, and my God knows it. And because of your ethnic background, you're inferior. And to love and to serve my God, there's no room for an inferior species. Wait a minute. God says we're all important. The only one who should be lifted up is Jesus Christ. When I was a little kid, and this is what worries me. When I was a little kid, I saw other kids older than me smoking. I thought, they're doing it. I want to do it. But I couldn't afford cigarettes. Well, we had a solution to that. Outside the store, they had these containers with sand in them, and when you were walking in the store, you just put your cigarette in the sand. And so we would gather the ones out of the sand. We didn't like the ones with lipstick on them, but if it's what we could get, it's what we could get. And so we would try to smoke these. Why? Because it's what the people we looked up to did. And I wanted to be like them until somebody said, you're stupid, don't do this, it could kill you. So I don't smoke anymore. That's probably a shock to some of you. But when college students look up to somebody who is in a suit, waxing eloquently and telling them to pray to a Brahma or to whatever God suits you, because we're all going to get there however we get there. No, no, no. There is no moral compass with a polytheistic system. I mean, I don't even really care about the, I mean, he said, he got ripped on this, but nobody's talking about what really matters, the amen and a woman. And whatever, here's the deal. Amen. I hated Hebrew. I just did. Other than I believe God's left-handed. No, check this out. Are anyone in here left-handed? Do you not hate writing and smearing the ink? Oh, I mean, it's so terrible for us. Hebrew, God's language, written from right to left. God wouldn't want to smear the ink. No, so I believe perhaps, and again, don't quote me on this, you know. I don't want you to be saying, hey, you told him what he did wrong. By the way, you can judge my sermons. And some of you do, and I love it. I need you to help hold me accountable, because God's going to rip me if I'm not doing what he wants me to do. Do not think for a minute, I do not want you to question me when it comes to my teaching the Word of God. You have 100% right to do that. Try not to terribly beat me up. I'm a little fragile. But anyway, I didn't like Hebrew. I hated it. I didn't even like Greek. I hated it, but I had to take it. I know this. The word amen has nothing to do with gender, and you know that too. There's never a prayer in the Bible that says a woman. No. Women are far superior to men. I get it. I mean, I got no problem with women. My wife is 10 times smarter than I am and a lot more spiritual than I am, and there's never a question in my mind about any of that. But we don't pray to a woman. I took Hebrew. There wasn't even a class called Shebrew. And so, I mean, you know, what does amen mean? I mean, you know, historically it means verily or truly, verily, truly. It at most understood, when you say amen, you're saying, let it be. Is it hot in here? Kev, fix the heat, man. Maybe I'm just getting warm. All right, so here's the difference here. There's always been, from the beginning of time, evil forces trying to ruin God's church, to get into the church and to change divine scripture to accommodate modern trends and cultural preferences. What you believe matters. You will be influenced by the Word of God and the words of God, or you will be influenced by the world. But you absolutely cannot take your belief system and say, now, God, you have got to conform to what my thinking is. That will never work. It's never worked. It's never going to work. That's why Paul tells his student Timothy, a time is coming when people will no longer listen to wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for teaching that will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase a myth. I've studied the Bible most of my life, and I believe it no matter the cost. I have to stand before you here today, and I have to tell you, I believe it all, or I don't believe it at all. I am not going to compromise my calling, not going to compromise my eternity to accommodate a lifestyle that is not in this. I'm never going to ask you to pray to whatever God you want to pray to. We're never going to pray to Brahma. We cannot do it. And if it means whatever the cost, I reject not the person, but the prayer from a smooth talker who has rejected biblical truth, again quoting from Paul, appeasing itching ears and chasing after myths, then I'm going to stand here and I'm going to say, I do not accept this. And I know we're in a lot of conflict, and I'm not in conflict over this, but come on now. Why did my doctor tell me he's got to start eating better? Because he actually cares about me. Why did my wife say, hey, don't run that stop sign? Two reasons. One, she doesn't want to have to pay a dumb ticket because of me. And if I were to run red lights, you would say, Pastor Jim, are you absolutely nuts? We can't do this. We can't do this with this sacred word. I love the last part of this. He says, work at telling others the good news. There is good news. Check this out. God loves you. We just celebrated this. He sent his son to die for you. Christianity isn't some little tight thing that you can't get into. It's open for everybody. Everybody in the world. Everybody in the world can love God and receive the gift of Jesus Christ, his son, as their savior. Everybody's welcome. The good news in my life has come from this word. I don't understand it all. I'm just telling you. And I've studied it most of my life. And some of it, I just don't get it. It's like, God, it just seems so harsh. Or I don't get it. It's just hard. But I've never had the privilege to say, God, I'm just gonna chuck that. Because that's what the devil did in the very beginning, and that's why we're in the mess we're in. I don't care. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're an independent. Here's what I care about. I care about that you stay biblical. If you don't stay biblical, you're going to be influenced by whatever influences there are. And here's why this matters. Your behavior is a direct reflection of your belief system. You actually behave how you believe. And God, oh my gosh, this is good news. I don't understand it all. But I believe it. I believe it's God's written word. And I believe it brings life. And I believe if we were to follow the word of God, just follow the love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and treat others as yourself, the world would be so much better, be so much more love. But part of love sometimes, as Paul told Timothy, you have to encourage, but sometimes you have to rebuke, sometimes you have to correct. I'm not mad at anyone right now except the devil. And I know he's mad at me, and I could care less. He's been mad at me a long time. We need the basics, friends. We need a solid foundation so we don't implode from the inside out. We need the basics so you and I have a foundation on which to build our lives that doesn't move. We don't need a foundation that moves. That's not an easy foundation. because then truly who is the strongest will rule you and me. I thought about this song, and I'll invite, I think Pastor Kev, you guys are going to come and lead one last song. So I thought about this song. They're not going to sing this song, but I like to keep it pretty simple. And this is a song that was written many years ago, but I like it. And I've talked about it a little bit before, but I just was reminded again this week of it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest fame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. And it goes on, but the part I like about this, and this is the good news today. There is hope for you. There's hope for me. But don't kid yourself. If you don't know this, that's why Pastor Kevin and we've been talking about this year, you got to know the Word of God, because it's a value system by which you can base other things. It's a value system that works. It's a value system that our country was built on. And I know that the Lord's in control. I've got no doubt. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I don't know a whole lot, my friends, but I do know this. Before I fully trusted this right here and gave my life to Jesus Christ, my life wasn't very good. And all these years that I've served Christ, never intended to be a pastor, intended to stay in the business world. All these years, the only thing that I know is true is this. The only thing that I can hang my hat on or build my life on or trust is this. And when somebody, anybody tells me that this is no longer valid, I'm not going there. I'm sticking to what I know. And I encourage you, Christianity is not some religion that just likes a few. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ that invites everybody. Everybody is welcome. Murderers, drunk or you name it. I want to pray with us and then we'll sing this last song. By the way, I love y'all. Thanks for letting me share with you today. And pray that I do not go down this road. I don't want to go down a road that's going to lead you in a wrong direction. I want to be able to have the faith to tell the truth in the midst of whatever. And in my, you know, short 35 years of pastoring, it's gotten harder. It's gotten more confusing. People are way more angry, and all of a sudden I'm, because I love Christ, am considered this side of an aisle or something weird. And it's like, no, I just want to be biblical. I just want my life to matter, because one day every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And I'm a little nervous about Matthew 7. Lord, we knew you. We casted out demons in your name. We did miracles. And Jesus said, I don't know you. And you're banished. I don't want that. I don't want that for me, and I don't want that for you, so we're not going to run red lights in the Word of God. Just to make it clear, I'm not mad at anybody. I love this pastor. No problem. Could care less what is Democrat, Republican, care less. Just so we make this clear. Either I believe it all, or you believe it all, or you can't believe it at all. That's not my words. That's what the Bible says. Either God says, I am the only God, or you got to chuck the whole thing. All right, I'm done. There's a little thing up there that tells me my time. I'm minus 11 minutes and 30 seconds. Oh my goodness. I was in the nursery Friday when the young moms group came. And I love the nursery workers. And I have just done to them what they did to me on Friday. Shame on Jim Brewer. All right, let me pray. Father, I judge today Jim Brewer. And I'm not claiming to be perfect up here. I'm not claiming to be superior to somebody who prays a goofy prayer. I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins and to help me to live in a way that brings honor to you, and that I might have the privilege to lead your people in a way that would bring them to you. That's the good news. That's the encouraging news, that we can have life and we can have it abundantly, and we know that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as believers to actually believe what you want us to believe. God, I thank you for Hope Church. I thank you, and I bless them. I really do. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I bless them. Lord, I love that prayer in Numbers, that you would make your face shine upon them, that you would radiate about them, and that we would live in your peace, even in turbulent times. Lord, make us today walk away and even question, what do we believe? Thank you that you love us most, and you don't want to judge any of us. If you wanted to judge us, you wouldn't have allowed your Son to die on our behalf, that we might have life, not only now, but in eternity. But Lord, we don't want to mock what you did. No, we don't want to do that. Help us, Lord, not to point the finger somewhere else other than at us, but to speak the truth in love. Amen.